This Sunday is kind of a jam-packed Sunday full of celebrations. We celebrate Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter. This is Vocation Sunday. And also, because it is the second Sunday of May, we celebrate Mother's Day. And on this day, we think of all the wonderful women in our lives who have given us so much. Not just our own mothers, who obviously have had a dramatic effect on the way we have lived our lives, but also the many other women who have had a profound effect on our personalities. I lived a lot of different places when I was growing up, predominantly in New York, but for 4 years I attended a Catholic grade school near Philadelphia called St. Monica's. And the school itself is named for a woman, Monica, who had devoted most of her adult life to the conversion of her wayward son, St. Augustine. By the way, her other two children both entered religious life. It was here that I encountered a woman, Sister Anne Louise, who had a profound effect on me since I had a bit of Augustine in me. I was only in fifth grade, so it wasn't too racy, but I was lazy. I was comfortable with doing enough to get by, throwing a couple of A's here and there, and everybody left me alone. Everybody was happy. And since I was a new kid, I didn't have a lot of teacher expectations. I didn't have to go overboard in my work. Well, Sister taught me that failure to use one's mind to its fullest was a sin. A sin against the gifts that God, the Lord, had given me. And that lesson still sticks with me some 50 years later. So today I thank Sister Anne, as well as my own mother, my late mother Joan, and my wife Barbara, and my three daughters, Kara, Megan, and Maureen, and all the other women in my life, for helping to mold me into the person that stands before you today. As I previously mentioned, this is Good Shepherd Sunday, and our brief gospel reflects this, sort of like a child who recognizes his mother's voice and turns his head when she calls out his name. We are Jesus' sheep. We hear his voice, and we know that we will be protected when we follow him. To understand today's gospel, we must recall the social setting in which John the Evangelist wrote his gospel account. He was writing to a community of Jews who had split apart because some in the community, the Christians, had insisted on the divinity of Jesus Christ. These Jews were expelled from the synagogue, and this made them vulnerable to Roman persecution. Jesus is telling his listeners that those who believe in him and follow him will have eternal life. These are his words of encouragement. Today, I'd like to also focus on the book of Revelation, the last book of the New Testament, and try to see why the church uses Revelation throughout the Easter season. Revelation describes the end time, but if you listen, it offers words of encouragement to those who believe. The book of Revelation has its origin in crisis. It is believed to have been written during the time of the persecution of the Emperor Diocletian, a time of great crises for the infant church and the early Christians. Things look bleak. Now, sometimes when we hear descriptions as depicted in Acts of the followers of the church right after the resurrection, we get the impression that the followers of Jesus led an idyllic life sharing with each other a kind of universal brotherhood. Revelation dispels that notion. It is written as a coded response to the violent persecution of the early church by the Roman authorities. It's both a warning to the early Christians of the need to stand tall when facing such an adversary, but it's also an exhortation that there is no compromise with paganism, despite the threat of adversity or even martyrdom. So the followers are told they must patiently await for the fulfillment of God's promises, as envisioned by John. You see, in John's vision of heaven, we see human beings, not just angelic creatures. He sees a vast multitude of followers, is signifying a number so large that they can't be counted. And it reminds us of all the unnamed saints who have devoted their lives and some even given their lives for Christ. This is the New Jerusalem spoken of by the prophet Ezekiel the reward for those who remain faithful. Human hearts long to hear words of comfort and assurance like those proclaimed at the end of this reading today. All times of crisis, just periodic woundedness, and our own daily struggles, we need a pledge that our tears will be wiped away, and that one who loves us will shelter us forever. So even though Revelation was written to Christians enduring persecution and written in such a way it hides its true meaning from their persecutors, it asserts that those who oppose God's work will not prevail, that suffering, even to the extent of martyrdom, will lead to a new and greater life than could ever have been imagined, and assures those who suffer that they have not been forgotten, no matter how much circumstances may declare the contrary. It is in the heavenly throne that a great multitude worships God and the Lamb. The Lamb, of course, is John's code for Jesus Christ. And here the elder explains that those dressed in white are faithful believers who do not let the sword compromise their faith. They have mingled their blood with the blood of the sacrificed Jesus, the Lamb. John says their blood has washed them clean. And an image, especially pointed to people living on the edge of a desert, like the Jews did in Israel, they will find shelter and never again know hunger and thirst or the sun's ravaging heat, for they will have life-giving water. And then, what John does, he reverses the roles. The Lamb becomes the shepherd. God is the good shepherd. The Lamb becomes the shepherd and leads them to this life-giving water. In an image from Isaiah, God wipes away every tear from their eyes. Revelation gives a choice. Conquer like the beast, use the sword, and separate yourself from God, or conquer like the Lamb and follow his way of suffering love. Then you find yourself united with God. The book asks throughout, which portrayal of reality are we going to choose from? Do we trust that of the Roman Empire, that is, that of the rich and powerful, or that of the suffering servant and his persecuted followers? And although we hate to admit it, we are faced with that decision on a daily basis. The reality of the secular world and its allures is the Roman Empire of our day. And whom do we trust? This is our ongoing battle. This is the revelation spoken of by John